Turn to our portion, Book of Matthew, chapter 6. Reading verses from 19 to 23. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves the treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? Actually, this portion, this subject continues up to verse 33, end of the chapter. But for our convenience, for our study convenience, we will go in smaller portions every day. And this is now the Lord is talking about the believers who are called for the heavenly kingdom and how they need to, how they ought to behave or have an approach towards the things of the earth. And the Lord is sharing that concerning our earthly treasures. In verse 19, lay not up your treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So the Lord is discouraging his disciples not to lay up the treasures here. And he gives the reason that if the treasures what we have here, earthly things, and they will likely to get moth and rust and corrupt. And the second reason he gives is the thieves break through and steal. And because of these reasons, the Lord said, you don't lay up the treasures here. One is the moth and rust. That means whatever we possess here, they are likely to get decayed. And if you take care of those decaying and preserve them and keep it in good stead, but there is another danger also. He said that there are thieves which can break through and take those your possessions or treasures. So you now lay up the treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. So it is just saying the same verse in a different way. And where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. And if you keep wherever your treasure is, and accordingly, then you will also, your thoughts and your heart lies, your interest is also stayed upon. Then if we don't store here, or laying not up our treasure here, then he says, then you lay up your treasure in the heavenly places, where there is no moth or there is no rust, and there are no thieves, and there is no breakthrough. So when you have it here, and your treasure is thieves by their fraud or by some other means, they come and take it away, then there is a lot of heartache. Similarly, if there is by decay or anything happens, then you lose the things, then also there is a pain. But we avoid all those things, as he says, instead of laying up here, then you lay up in heavens. And those things that he encourages us to do that. Then the reason also he gives, where your treasure is, there your heart also. Then if you start laying up the treasure in heaven, then your heart also will travel to that, and it will work towards the things of the heaven. But then, how do I lay up the treasure in heaven? Why I should not lay up here? He says, those are all will decay, and there is a fraud, there are chances of losing thing, losing everything. The book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the world passeth away, and that means whatever is here, that is all will be gone. And Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt, and with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that they are therein, shall be burned up. So both the apostles who were there here at the time of this discourse, and they, the way they have written is that they understood, then they conveyed the message to the other disciples. And since that will, all will be gone, but the Lord is encouraging that to lay up our treasure in the heavenly place, in heavens. But there are different, we see the verses where we can lay up our treasures in heaven. Book of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So if I have the treasure to give it to the other people instead of laying it here, and if I have a heart to distribute, he said, that is actually lending it unto the Lord. So it is, Lord, because he has created everything, and he is the owner of all the things which everyone has. And undisputedly that he owns all of us and what all we have. But the way we learn to behave towards the poor people, or the treasure which you would like to lend to Creator, he said he give it to the poor. That is as good as considering giving it back to the Lord, and or laying up the treasure in heaven. In verse 28 of the same book, chapter 28, verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many acres. So many times we think that today I have this, and if I give it, then what will happen to me tomorrow? But he says the Lord's promise is that he will not lack anything. And if I continue to hide my face from the needs of the other people whom the Lord has brought to my attention, he says, instead of a blessing, it is a curse. And the same thing in 1 John we see in chapter 3, verse 17, that if I have the heart to give back to the poor or the Lord, if I have received something from the Lord, and when I see what the Lord has given, we will see that also. But when I tasted his love and every provision in my life, then he has fulfilled. When the Lord brings to my notice that there is a need of others, that where I will be able to do something, if I do not respond, and his sacrificial love has not found meaning in my life. So when I, whatever I have received from the Lord, and there is no merit, and it is purely grace of God. It is not by my intelligence or knowledge or any other abilities or resources. Everything is given by Him. And if I need to acknowledge that one and in respond to what I have tasted, to make it His love is perfect in my life, I need to show forth what I have received in the same kind of a heart I have towards the people whom He brings to my attention. And in verse 17 we see that, but whoso hath this world's goods, seeth his brother have need, and shutteth his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, letteth not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So the Lord has sacrificed everything for me. He did not hold back anything. Father gave up everything through the Son unto me. But if that love, if I needed to show back, show forth towards other people, and that is then only it will have some meaning, because it has been brought the needed purpose in a person's life who received and tasted the love of God. But when we see what the Lord did in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform doing a fit, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be performance also out of that which ye have. And Paul was encouraging the Corinthian believers about the grace of God, how he has given away everything so that we may become rich. And forever says he became poor, so that ye through his poverty might be rich. But when it comes to my life, and I have to confess, the way the Lord did it, and the first century believers did it, and that was not the condition of my heart for so many years. Because there was a fear and a hesitation in the heart, what will happen, especially in the beginning of the Canadian life here. New place, new beginning, and so many inhibitions and the fears has hunted my life, and I could not really function the way I should have functioned, and that was a big lack in my spiritual life. And I also believed in the beginning that to live happily, money is also required. But later on, so many things have happened in my life that for the happiness, money has got no relationship. For example, the Bhutan is not the rich country, but in the happiness index, they are the number one people in the world. So the happiness, I could remember in my earlier days in India, especially when I was growing up in Andhra, I saw people who were road building workers. They don't have any houses. They stay beside the road in a small tent. They have children, family, wife, everybody. But if you look at their faces, they are not sad. And they are happy. Similarly, I have seen many people who were working in our farms. But they were also happy. They didn't have any money. But happiness and the money has got no relationship. But on the contrary, I have seen rich people, but there were many people who are not happy, and either maybe they are more stressed up or they had so many other things. So what I really later on understood in my life, that the money is not everything to be happy. So the fear God has slowly removed and taught me how to trust Him, and also and made me to really feel come into the experience of enjoying the Lord and the real drawing the happiness from Him than by the positions what I have. Then slowly when I understood these principles, and the third most important thing is, if I have the opportunity to do something to my fellow brothers, and that will give me much more joy than just holding back what I had. So in the beginning, it was accumulation, collection, gathering has brought happiness to the natural man. But later on, where the Lord started working in my life, that is a change. And actually, I felt ashamed when I saw the people who has less positions, but a much larger heart than me. And I had to confess that. And that was the state of heart that Lord is looking in everybody. But I'm not saying that I became perfect and I'm ready to, I'm selling everything to give it up. But the heart is now tilting towards to understand and what is actually the Lord laid up for me in heaven and where I need to keep my heart and how to do that. And there is in every opportunity whatever the Lord brings to my attention, not to hide my face and not to say no, but what I can do is the first question which the Lord is bringing to my attention. If I am not able to do the whole thing, but a part of it, if I can be of help, then the Lord is giving me a great satisfaction that I am able to do, or the Lord enabled me to do what the Lord is asking me to do. And that is giving me more joy and happiness in my heart than when I had positions more. And now, compared to what in the few years to now, and in the business, I continually steadily making losses. But my heart is started rejoicing in the Lord because I trusted the Lord. Whatever is good for me, He will do it. He did it before and He will do it again. That I'm saying good means not more money, but whatever is good, whatever is needed and whatever is good for my life, that He will do it. And that is the heart Lord has brought me into the experience. And about 7 or 8 years ago, family has conducted, has observed a birthday, invited us to a birthday party of their 1 year old grandson. So we went there and we met a few other old friends. And one sister who was close to us then, and she told me that, Brother Hari, the Lord has blessed you so much. Then I said, sister, it is good, and it is all, the Lord has done it, but that is nice. But the way now I am saying, when, if it is, everything is gone, like Job, I should be able to say that the Lord is good. And I told her, I don't know whether I would be there like Job. That will be known only when I am tested. So because when it is not tested, we may confess, I am ready to do so. But that has got no validity in the sight of God. But when the Lord really tests us, when whatever we are considering or that is good and that is what I have done or attained, when that is withdrawn and how my heart reacts to that, when that is known according to the will of God, then I can say, yes, the Lord has blessed me. And it is, man is very happy that when as long as it is being added. But when it started going down, then the man starts to react differently towards the family, towards people, and towards everyone. Because his heart is connected to the what he liked it, what he attained, what he achieved. But that is what the Lord is speaking to us. And the Lord is teaching to me also. And that is why if I have to say that these are the words which are being fulfilled in my life, I cannot say. But do I endeavor to do that? Surely. But is there a progress? Yes, the Lord is working. And I want you also, all of you also, to pray that all of us, that may Lord may enlighten our hearts to see what the Lord has kept for us in store, the heavenly things. And the more and more we see the heavenly inheritance and heavenly stewardship, heavenly tabernacle, and heavenly calling, heavenly kingdom, the glories of that, those provisions, then our hearts should be tuned to that. So I see a few examples in the first century church, book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 onwards. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread and from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So now it is the first time where Peter and along with other apostles spoke in their own languages, and there was a great crop of people who came and believed the first time, 3,000 men. And as those who all believed, see in verse 44, and all that believed, those 3,000 people, all believed, and sold their possessions, goods, parted them to all men. So that means if they had $100 and those who have $10, then they all shared. So they brought it into one pool and all had now everything in common. But what happens in that kind of a situation? Those who contributed more, and if they wanted to say that I have contributed more, then this verse will not be right. So it is in verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And if they say I contributed more than the other person, that singleness of heart is gone. So that means he still has a lingering thoughts about what he contributed. So that means, though he has given money, but his heart is still attached to that what he contributed. So that is what Lord is not looking. And when they gave up wholeheartedly. Otherwise, that singleness of heart would not have been recorded. So that means, the person who has the self-identity, whatever the treasure he has brought, he has buried everything in it. It is gone. Then only the 3,000 people, and they could live together with the singleness of heart and continued with the joy of the Lord in breaking of bread and remembering the Lord, what the Lord did. And chapter 4. Verse 31 onwards. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So this was when Peter and John has healed that man in the temple. In verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught to things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. So they had everything in common. So there it is 3,000 people in chapter 2. In chapter 4 it is 5,000 people. So in the early Christian churches, that means when from when the Lord has touched their heart, their heart is immediately connected to the things of the heaven, and they did not bother to sell off everything to distribute and have everything in common. So in the, now, many of us did not understand that we have called for the heavenly kingdom, and our hearts are to be connected to that. And it took a lot of time for in my life. And I think it is with the many other brothers and sisters as well. And if somebody who has God from the beginning, the way it is now seen in the world, that is a blessing. And I'm not saying nobody has that one, but if there are people like that, and it is a great blessing, and it is really greatly to be rejoiced about those testimonies. And the book of Acts chapter 20. I have showed you all things, and how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it is the words of the Lord, it is better to give than to receive. That is why Paul was saying that, remember the weak, to do that one, he also labored. And it is a great thing if the Lord keeps us in a position to give rather than to receive. A book of Matthew, chapter 5. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, and they shall obtain mercy. So it is not only just in the times of their different difficult situations, but if they need something, then if we show mercy, then in our time of need, then the Lord will arrange the same thing or more than that, whatever is our need, accordingly the Lord will show that to us. And in the same chapter, verse 42, give them that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So it is something the Lord was saying. If anybody is coming and asking you that I need this, and you're going to turn your face from him away. So many times we see that they are not in a position to give you back, then we are hesitant to give and help in their need. But the Lord is not asking us to just avoid those people or situations, because the Lord takes care of everything. And the book of Hebrews, there is the testimony of those brothers there, chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the labor of love which you have showed towards his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And that is what they were also doing in Hebrew brothers and sisters. So now we go back to our portion, book of Matthew chapter 6. So instead of laying up here, the Lord is asking us to lay up there. And these are different passages which we have seen, that is in a simple way, and we understand that sending or laying up our treasure in heavenly places. In verse 22, Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore thy light is the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So now he is saying that you lay up your treasure there, but how your heart needed to be connected to what you are supposed to see, and also refrain not to see what you are not supposed to. So that is what he explains here. So the light of the body is the eye. And if therefore our eye be, if thine eye be is single, so normally the sun diffuses its rays and gives the light, whatever is needed, to the entire creation, to charge up the life to go on. Similarly, but if that light is there around us, if I don't have the vision of my eyes, I cannot see it, physical eyes. So to receive the light, my eyes are important, so that it will lead me what to distinguish the things, to understand, and accordingly I can guard and watch my life. But inwardly, also there is an eye in every person. That inward eye is our spiritual man, our inner man. Our inner man, or the spiritual man, who is quickened by the Holy Spirit and gets connected to the Spirit of God and continues to listen to the Spirit's guidance and the leading, and he is enlightened to see the things which are kept in heavenly places for us. And that is what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The things which are kept for them in heaven, eye has not seen. But for us, our inner eyes, which are quickened, will be able to see if you allow the Lord's Spirit or Holy Spirit communicates with your inner man or inner spirit. When your inner spirit continues to have the dominance through the power of the Holy Spirit, then you will be able to see what the Lord is asking you in the world, and how your physical actions and the earthly life should reflect on the basis of what you have understood and what you have seen in heavens. If your eye is not able to see the vision of the heavens through the quickened inner man, then although we become the believers, we still will remain as a carnal believers and will continue to function in darkness in relation to the things of the heaven. We fail there. So as we allow the Spirit to dwell in us, or continue to have that stronger communication with our inner man, that is the I, where in that light, whatever the inner man sees or the spiritual man sees, and then he will continue to guard our soulical emotions, or the passions of this world, or the desires of the flesh, are brought under the subjection of him, and accordingly the man will tread his life towards the goals of the heaven. And when he said, if thine eye be evil, that means it is has a double vision. Sometimes it sees the things of the earth, and sometimes it sees the things of the heaven. That means your communication, or my communication, or our communication, the way it's supposed to be with the dwelling of the Holy Spirit is not there, then my vision is also not right. Then I will not be able to see those things clearly. Then I will, my life, whatever is, if it is, my soulical life is outweighing the spiritual life, then my physical body, or the earthly natural senses, will continue to dominate of the things of the earth. Then my interest will be here. I tend to behave as if I belong here. And that is detrimental to every believer who is looking for a heavenly inheritance. If we are looking for a heavenly inheritance, and the important thing, how we can lay up our treasure is mentioned, our eye should be single. That means it, the inner man needed to look only of the things of the heaven by the senses of the faith and the hope. If those two senses continue to function dominantly in a person's life, and they learn to look unto the things of the heaven, and aspire to be as joint heirs along with the Lord, and wanted to follow the footsteps of their leader, the one who has not thought it a robbery to be equal with God, but left his heavenly glory and came into this world, and he became poor, though he was rich, then we will be able to do, by his grace, those things in our lives. And as long as our heart is darkened, or our eyes not able to see those things, according to the heavenly matter, In relation to the heavenly matters, our life is still in darkness. So we need to understand how my inner man is functioning and where I am and how I ought to regulate my life and how I need to have the stronger communication with my inner spirit, with my Lord. Then only, and as I continue to show obedience to Him, and more, when He sees, then He will also continue to increase my faith, leads me into the deeper things, and I will continue to enjoy. That time, my heart will not be bothering as much as before. Then slowly, I will be weaning away from those things and get connected to the things of the heaven. And then that will change, not only just in terms of the treasure and laying up, my entire walk on the earthly life will change. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and around, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. So that means the person will be in a darkness and cannot see afar off. So he is temporarily minding the things what he needed now here on the earth. So he will not be able to see things afar off. That means what is it meaning of laying up treasure or getting ready for the heavenly country or the heavenly inheritance and the many other pertaining matters of the matters related to the heavens. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. So now in verse 5 onwards, we have seen those virtues what the Lord Peter was encouraging the believers to have. And by the time we come to the last, he said, and verse 7, godliness to brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness to charity. So it is all those things are leading to brotherly kindness and brotherly kindness to charity. If you have these things, then showing forth your love, whatever you have received to the brethren, that is brotherly charity. But that brotherly charity also, now not just because you need to give something, you give. Filled with love. So this is my brother is need of something. And I need to help him because that is the way the Lord has shown to me. And I do that. And that is making me to satisfy my Lord. And that gives me more joy than having that position in my heart or in my hands. So I just wanted to do that so that my life is meeting what the Lord is expecting of me. If you have those, if anybody do not have these things, but if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. That means his eye is evil or corrupted or it is now very cloudy and cannot see afar off. Cannot see afar off is the vision to see the things of the heavens. That means his inner man is weakened and not able to see what the Lord has kept for him, and his soulical man now making him to turn as a carnal believer and having all kinds of things which are connected to the earth. And when we see these things, that means they have lost the vision of the things of the heaven. Though we preach, but if it is not there, then I have not really, in the sight of God, is blind and dark, living in darkness. So book of Matthew chapter 19 verse 23 onwards. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. That means the rich man's heart is connected to the treasure what he has here. 24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So that means the rich man has to really crawl, kneel down, slowly move. Even then it is going to be extremely, extremely difficult for that person to enter into the kingdom of God. It is almost not possible. That is what he meant. But in verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. If God shows mercy and encourages to see the things which are much more precious and kept for us in store in heaven, then the person's heart will wean away from the positions what he has here. 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, and followed thee, what shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. So it is those disciples, when they understood he is the Son of the living God, Messiah, that means he is the King, and with him if they are there, then whatever they were doing, they did not consider it is a valuable thing to hold on to that. And there is a poor widow woman who has given up everything. So that though that means whatever she had, she has given up. In the times now where we are living, and as a believer, the way the portion which we have seen is becoming extremely difficult for us. But as our heart is connected to the things of the heaven by the power of the Spirit, then when we express our desire, the Lord, I wanted to please you and teach me how to do these things in my life. And when he brings slowly, when you are entering into those matters and able to do the way the Lord wanted, and the Lord will teach us to and bring us to those completion levels what he desired for each one of us. But when we don't have a heart to do that, then it is a difficult thing. So he said, for man it is impossible, but God it is possible. Yes.
I'd like to add a few thoughts here if I can.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
This subject of money has marred the Christendom from the very beginning. It has really challenged everyone. But if we take a simple principle, that where we are asked now to follow our Master, not only to be conformed in his nature and image, but if we simply look back, and as we've seen the scriptures from the very early first century church believers, and the Lord himself, he said, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, and the Son of Man have no place to lay his head. And we saw the scripture that he became poor to make us rich.
Yes.
He has clearly have exhorted that it is in the heaven.
Yeah.
Not in the earth. Also, he says, I have come to give you an abundant life now. That is a spirit-filled life where our heart is inclined to the will of the Father in the heaven, again not in the earth. So, when so clearly the scripture is, and if we say that if we love our Lord, we cannot at the same time love the master and the money. And that is the real challenge. And one portion I will share in that light is that from Paul, when writing to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, from verse 6 onwards, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So money in itself is not evil, but it is the love of the money which is the root cause of all evil. So it is very encouragement to always to come back and to look at the measure of the way the Lord lived his life completely. And we see in Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 to 11 that we need to have the same attitude of our Lord himself, the way he came, emptied himself and died to become for us. So wealth will be a great hindrance, and we see in the Laodicean church in the Revelation chapter 3 also that they become so rich of their wealth. And he said, "I want you to be rich, refined through the fiery furnace. So I can make you rich through those trials." Very clear scripture that we all can be encouraged. Then we can say to the Colossians 3 that set our hearts and our minds on things above, to the heaven. So it is very, very encouraging to all of us to know that when we put that trust in the Lord, and last week you also touched the portion in Proverbs chapter 37 and 8 and 9, that neither give me poverty nor give me riches, but my daily bread. So once we really have a true love for the Lord and for his word, then only we can be able to truly get away from that, the love of money. And the money, many Christians will not really love the money, but they need the money. They would say, "I need it for the sustenance. You know, I have bills to pay and I got a big family. The Lord has given me many children, so I have to take care of them." And so many things. But one scripture that I always take to heart and encourage, even to that measure, if we truly understand that the Lord is the one who will take care of us, our needs. In Isaiah 46, verse 3 and 4, the verse says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." When the Lord has clearly have said, "To the end, I will sustain you. Seek first the kingdom," which we will see the next portion as we come to that place. And I always encourage from that all the scriptures, for I loved money before knowing the Lord. I really loved money. I enjoyed it thoroughly, seeing it multiply it in my life. And that was my focus, always. But the Lord had a greater plan for me, that he had to really bring me to a place where I had nothing but him. So it is, for me, it's a great encouragement that now every time I come across these temptations, I remind myself of that day where I had nothing and I only had him. And it is possible. It is a daily commitment to the reminding ourselves that if truly, truly, if I am of the heaven now and I'm going there to inherit, it is a daily separation. Every temptation that comes our way, we should deny that. Whatever comes our way, we should deny it. Otherwise, slowly it will again will tempt us back into the same place, because the enemy is very, very, he knows the weaknesses of men. So it is much encouragement again from this portion that we can't love the Lord and anything of the earth. I don't even want to say money. Anything of the earth, we cannot even attach ourselves. All that kingdom principles, whether that you continue to challenge us, and encourage us, to separating ourselves, to preparing ourselves, and as we have seen from Matthew 5 onwards, all of the beatitudes can only be accomplished when we completely separate day by day. And that is the only way to the prize that awaits us in the heaven. It's a struggle, brother. I have seen many brothers who have spoken to me, and they clearly have confessed that this I cannot get away. I love it. They always said to me that, you know, it's a struggle for us. And I don't say anything to them, because I used to love too before. So I know what they mean.
Yeah, the words in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in the love for the money is the problem. That if the Lord adds wealth, that is a different thing. As we read in book of Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22, the blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and he will not add sorrow to that. So that means it is not by willing, it is not by running, but it is by the mercies of the Lord he will add to some people the wealth.
Yeah.
They also know how to handle it.
Absolutely. Abraham is our classic example, brother. He had everything, but he had his heart inclined to the heaven.
What is that, brother? What is that?
I said Abraham is the best example. Lord continued to multiply him, but he had no interest in all those things.
Yeah. So when you are striving to become something, that means you have love for that one. But when you are trusting the Lord and accepting what the Lord has plan for you, and the Lord will give you whatever He wanted to give it to you. So today morning we have seen one verse in book of Psalms chapter 81. It said, they did not have contentment in me, the children of Israelites. They want something more than that. That is why they went after idol worship and so many other things. And they have reckoned their faith. And I'll just close by reading one reference, book of Revelation chapter 3. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and thy shame may be shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye sleeve, that thou mayest see. So this is what we need. We need an eye sleeve to anoint our eyes, so that the blindness and the darkness may go, our eyes may become single. And our eyes then will be able to see what we are supposed to see. Then, as long as that vision is not there, and my inner man is not able to perceive the things what God has kept for me, and my heart interest will still remain, then what my physical eyes see, then the Lord is asking to buy eye slave from me. So that I may be able to see. Otherwise the Lord would consider me is blind. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, he is a man who is having only short sight. He misses the far sight. And the Lord is moving another step, as for the Laodicean church, they are considered as blind.
Uncle.
Yes.
Then I totally agree with what you said, and I understood very clearly. Mm-hmm. But I have one doubt when we read Proverbs 22. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 13, verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
A good man leaveth an inheritance to all his children's children.
Mm.
Can we take this to our New Testament life?
Inheritance is, if you, in the Old Testament, as far as the Jewish people, the inheritance is earthly.
Mm-hmm.
But the New Testament, as per the 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, our inheritance is in heaven. If you leave the heavenly principles, living by faith to our children, and that is what is the greatest inheritance we leave for us then. I know, I have read of one great servant of God. His name is Arthur T. Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived about 150 years.
Hmm.
He was a great servant of God and he has written wonderful books, and I have got a really enlightenment through his reading, through his writings.
Hmm.
And he was working as a pastor in one of the churches in Detroit, Michigan. And when his ministry, God blessed him and many people were added to the gatherings there. Then one of the other denominational people came and asked him that we give you higher salary and we will you come and work in so and so place in our organization. And he has consulted with his wife and he said, if I go with money and give all the pleasures of this earthly life to my children, that I am not teaching any lessons of faith to my children. I am striving only to make them not to exercise faith, how the Lord can meet their needs. And that is not good for their faith life. And it is not a testimony for me also, he said. Then he denied that offer.
Yeah.
And there is another brother who also lived about 170 years ago in India and also in Iraq and also in England, and he gave up all, and all his treasure was just one blanket. On the night he used to sleep on the floor covering that. In the daytime he used to use that as a mat for him to sit. And he was a dentist. He was a rich man. 170 years ago his income, regular, his father has arranged his regular income to be 1500 pounds 170 years ago. But he gave up all. And he wanted to live by faith, truthfully, what it means, the Lord's provisions for his life. So when we live a life filled with faith, and if the children learn out of that, then that is a great inheritance we can leave to the children. But when we are joining with them in the race here and encouraging them to be something that they can earn or do this and prosperous, then we are not exercising or leaving the inheritance. Then whatever we say about the scripture, I don't know whether they would really accept that.
Yeah. Yeah, got it, Uncle. Thank you.